You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Yo, this is Justin Bieber.
Hey, it's Ariana Grande. Just the Interviews, a Zach Sang Show exclusive podcast.
Hi.
I'm so sorry about the delay.
That's okay.
Good to see you again. Yep.
Good to see you again as well. I'll come around and give you a nice hug.
How are you?
I'm freaking awesome.
I good wanted to put on my Elton John shades for you today.
You're killing it.
Do you want me to sit here?
Yes, yeah. Please. That little corner
like
right there.
I'm on stage by myself, it feels like.
Well, you kind of are.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. That's all we have to offer.
Like no, you can get into that corner if you want.
Oh, this is super f***ing cool.
You're f***ing relaxed. It's great.
Drinking a Coke.
It's an advertiser right now.
Sorry, I'm like drinking a Coke on your show on the couch. Got my Vans on. I'm so LA right now. Yeah.
Is this the most LA you've been in a while
Look
or
at
ever?
Me.
Yeah,
I'm like LA.
It's pretty. Can I document your presence?
Please. Okay. Do whatever you want. I'm like never been this LA in my entire life. I just felt like I wanted to like be in like the LA vibe, you know?
You're not in it. You are it.
I've got the Vans. I'm like drinking a Coca-Cola. No advertisement.
Yeah, Frank, they owe you money.
Uh-oh.
That's freaking right, dude. There we go. Yeah, we'll tag them. They'll know.
Oh, God. So how are you?
I'm great.
Can you just bring the mic a little closer to you so we can hear everything?
Yeah. There we go.
I'm great.
That's good.
How are you? I've seen you
like a few times this week, haven't I?
Yeah, I saw you Monday and then I saw you at the top of the carpet at the AMAs.
I know. How was that? Did you have a good day?
I had a good day. My lazy eye was intact. It was more focused than usual.
I know. I was totally burnt out by the time AMAs came. I'm like, I was so tired from the day of just like the whole week of craziness.
But can you, because it takes energy. I feel like there's going to be a lot of people out there that are like, what energy does it take to, you know, walk a red carpet or to do all this stuff?
It's like totally like, I mean, you've got the pressure of the carpet. You want to look good. You don't want to fall over. You don't want to say the wrong things.
Yeah.
And you're just like got all this going on. So it's kind of like intense, you know?
And the photographers are yelling at you like animals.
I would rather like go to the pub and like chill out with my friends if that was a relaxing time for me. Do you know what I mean? Rather than go to the red carpet. Some people some people go to award shows and like some artists that I know and like just don't care and just like have the best time. But I can't do that because I like to like dress up and like put a dress on.
It's a presentation.
Yeah, for me.
By the way, you brought up pub. Also, we're in the studio hanging out with Rita Ora.
Yeah. Oh my God, yeah. Hi, guys.
One interesting thing about your life is your dad was a pub owner, and that's where you started singing, right?
Yeah. He still is. He still owns pubs.
How many pubs we got in the family?
A few, but now he's just like focused on one. But earlier on, he was like dipping and diving into different situations. But yeah, I used to just sing in bars and pubs illegally because I was underage.
And what do you learn from performances in a pub?
You just learn how to interact with people and you learn how to conversate with people. You learn how to socialize. You learn how to like sing songs that you actually don't want to sing, but like every drunk person in the pub wants you to sing them. So you just have to like shut up and like sing. And you learn a lot. I mean, my dad, I now realize, was totally using me, which I thought was really amazing. Now I'm realizing it.
Well, you thank him, right? Because if he didn't use you, maybe your family would have less food on the table, but also you wouldn't have this career right now.
Exactly. And I wouldn't be busy. So that's good news. And I wouldn't be doing what I love. And I wouldn't be here on this amazing, cozy couch.
Thanks. Your whole life starts though.
Yeah.
Your intro into entertainment is a TV show. You start acting, right?
Yeah.
13? Or were you singing before then?
Well, I was always singing. I was always in music back in the UK. I was always like doing things, you know, musically. But I went to a theater school, so like all the time there would be like opportunities to do TV shows and like auditions and things like that. But no, my first kind of break really was dipping into films and TV, but was when I just did a feature with just a DJ back at home. And then, I don't know, everything just like took off from there.
So, okay, that's with DJ Fresh, right? You're talking about Hot Right Now.
Yeah.
But before then, you lend your vocals to like a James Morrison album. and Craig David's record, but you're uncredited.
And Jason Mraz as well.
So when you
How crazy is that?
It's ridiculous. Because how do they find you? How do they hear you? Is it from...
Do you know what? It all started when I was in a production deal with a producer.
Okay.
And it wasn't like the best deal on the table, but like it was the first thing I ever had to do with like a deal of any sort. Like I didn't know any better, you know? And so I just kind of went with the flow and they just ended up like using me and I did like backing vocals and I'd learned how to sing like songwriting things. To be honest, I just wanted to be in a studio and like meet people, so I didn't care like what I had to do, you know. So I just hung out in the recording studio like all day.
What do you learn from that?
You learn a lot about like being in the right place at the right time, basically. And it's like having that patience of like nothing happening for like nearly a year. Because I dropped out of school when I was 16.
Wow.
Yeah, so I didn't go to school after when I was 16. And my parents are very, like, to the book. You know, they're like, go get a degree, go get a master. It's just where I grew up. That's where I'm from. Like, that's all, like, how we were supposed to live, you know. And I didn't do that. So I kind of said to my parents, like, give me a year to, like, try this. And then I promise I'll, like, go to college. And I never went to college.
What was like the one moment where your parents were like, okay, you not going to school was the right move?
I think when they started seeing like me on TV and stuff and like started seeing me on the radio and hearing me on the radio and like just started to see things were changing and attention was coming towards me. They were like, okay, this is starting to like...
It's real.
Yeah, exactly.
It's really... You have a fascinating story as I was doing research on you.
It's long, right? I feel like I've got like...
Forever.
Yeah, it goes like... My career has been, so far, has been definitely a journey.
But a journey filled with a lot of success, a lot of hardship, but obviously a lot of knowledge.
Yeah.
And you've walked away from some really intense experiences, always intact, always with your head held high,
thanks,
and you never stopped.
Yeah, no, ever. I just didn't stop, no. I didn't have it easy. I mean, it wasn't... overnight. I think some people forget, like when they see, I don't know, pictures of me or they see whatever they see, they're just like, oh, here she is. But it wasn't like that. Like, this has been a grind, like a really long grind. And I don't think it will ever stop. I guess the more success you have, the more you have to grind. So, yeah, I think it was like, it's just crazy.
Congrats on making history.
Oh, thank you.
If you don't know, breaking a 30-year record, having the most top 10 records in the UK for a British female.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's stupid.
Yeah, that's cool, especially because I'm from there. So for me, it's like, and I'm really proud of that.
You know, you brought up the song with DJ Fresh.
Yeah.
That song, could you agree that changes your life?
Yes. Yeah, for sure. Like, that whole experience was intense because, like, I was just, like, a feature on someone's song. And then the label I was signed to at the time was like, whoa, this is kind of, like, picking up. We need to, like, put something out. And I was like, yeah.
Hello.
Catch the wave. And then, yeah, we just started. That's what forced my label to really kind of, like, speed it up and, like, put something out.
And you go on to have 3 number ones that same year.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Well, I mean...
That's mad.
But I feel like you were prepared for it. A lot of artists maybe wouldn't be prepared for it if they hadn't been working for as long as you had before that moment and just got thrown into that situation. But you were you prepared for it? Were you ready?
Well, you know, I was recording my album 3 years prior to that moment, prior to that DJ feature. I think without that DJ feature, I would have still, to this day, probably been recording my album. Because, like, it was crazy. Because at one point, I think that the people that I was around... they just weren't like wrapping it up and being like, okay, let's just go.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just ready to put out my first album. And then like a lot went on politically where it became really like nasty, and not in a bad way, but just it wasn't as easy as I thought it was going to be to put out an album. I don't know why I've just got like stories for days. It's just, I don't know, it just follows me. Drama just follows my life.
But like I said, you always rise above and you keep going.
Yeah, thank you.
So when did you start writing Aura? It was released
2000 and I got signed in 2009, and then I put my album out in 2012.
And when did you start writing that sucker? Was it pre getting signed?
No, in 2009.
Got it.
Yeah, I met Roc Nation in 2009, and that's when I started writing my album.
And that's your first album. That wraps in 2012.
Yeah.
Phoenix is coming November 23rd.
Yes, 2018.
But there's a long time in between there.
I know, but the reason I called it Phoenix is because I, honest to God, feel like I've got like a new lease of life. Like, Phoenix has like loads of lives. Yeah. And I felt like it was a really strong message and a really powerful like word, and I like singular powerful words, and Phoenix for me was like, wow, it makes sense. I feel like I've risen from a lot of nonsense, and I feel like it's my time, and it's a fresh start, and it just felt right, you know.
But even in the 4 years between, you never ceased to stop lending your voice to songs. You were always in the spotlight. I mean, you were always doing something. You've always been around.
Yeah, exactly.
You've always stayed busy.
That was my aim. My aim was to really, like, slowly but surely creep up on these motherfuckers.
And you did. You're doing it.
No, excuse my language, but I felt like, you know, regardless of what I was dealing with, making my record, I always wanted to be in the entertainment industry. Like, I love entertaining people, and I love being a part of things like TV shows, and the things that make me busy keep me really excited. Like, I do believe in like a 360 artist, and I feel like that is what I am.
You brought up something really important, 360 artist, and I brought it up to you on the carpet when I was looking at your fashion. I said you're an artist on many levels.
Thanks.
And fashion has its own language for you.
Yeah, it does.
I don't want to say pressure, but to be a 360 artist, to be able to do everything and to be able to balance all of it, can you do it without one of those things ever suffering?
Well, I guess sometimes if everything you do isn't like a number one smash crazy hit record or whatever, but it's the fact that you're like achieving something that is, that you're proud of. So I don't know, I don't put that much pressure on myself, you know. I do the best that I can, and then I kind of just like let it go, because when you do that, I think I'll probably lose my mind if I ever put all that pressure on myself.
Phoenix,
yeah,
when did this album start? When did you start creating this human being, this thing?
It's probably about 2 years ago.
2 years.
Yeah, but that was like in my head 2 years ago, you know. So I was like writing by myself and things like that. But it only took a couple of months to like put it all together, which is how an album's supposed to be made, ladies and gentlemen. This was the first experience I've had of doing it like that, which is why I called it Phoenix.
Biggest change from Aura to Phoenix?
I guess it was me and the people I worked with. It was just amazing. Like, everyone was hungry for a Rita album that I was working with, and I didn't realize that, you know, because so many years went by of me doing so many things, I didn't even know what I wanted to do or what I wanted it to sound like. And the writers that I was working with were super encouraging and like super like excited for Rita music, and that made me really excited. So like we created like a little like music family, and it was dope. And then we just kind of like wrote loads of songs, and like I just feel so like liberated and like relieved, and I just feel really like confident about like who I am and like the music that I make.
Who are you?
I'm like a grown-ass woman now. I'm like a 27-year-old woman that's got like tons of stories to tell.
Yeah,
you know, so I feel like I'm like on a roll.
It's kind of cool because it is just the beginning, because a lot of people, they roll into their second album a year or two after the first one comes out, and a lot of people are afraid of the sophomore slump. But are you afraid of that?
What's a sophomore slump?
You know, first big album, strong out the gate, success.
And then following it with something. Oh, yeah, of course.
It's a little bit weaker, but you have 6 years in between the first and the second.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't look at it like that. I just look at it like a brand new start. I don't know. I didn't like...
Brand new start.
Yeah, I didn't think about it like that, to be honest. Because also, when I put out Aura, my first album, it wasn't a global release. It wasn't all over the world. There are territories that I'm hitting now with this album that I've never hit before in my whole career. So I can't wait to like go and fly all over the world and like just promote this record and just like see the world. It's gonna be awesome.
Is it cool that people are getting to know you for the first time through this album as opposed to Aura?
Yeah, it is cool. I don't know what to do. I feel like I'm like walking into like a marriage or something with like the world. No, I don't know. It's really cool. It's really scary, but it's really cool.
Some of the albums off of Phoenix have been released. One of those is the record you did with Avicii, Lonely Together.
Mm-hmm.
Can you describe how that song came to be and how you... when it came to you, were lyrics already done? Was production all finished?
Lonely Together was written on a guitar originally, and it was just really simple. I did it with my writer, Andrew Watt, who wrote a lot of my records with me on my album. And we didn't really know what to do with it, so I, like, recorded it, and then it kind of just sat for a while. And it was actually Andrew's idea to kind of, like, start sending it out to DJs, and maybe it could have been, like, a DJ song. And it was kind of random because he was like, where's Avicii? And I was like, I don't know, that's dope. Should we send it to him? And he was doing his EP, you know, the last EP that he released before he passed. And so it was perfect timing. So we sent it over and he was like, I love this song. And then we kind of all just sat on FaceTime for like a week and like made the record. And actually Benny Blanco also kind of like finished the drums on it at the end. And it was like a cool little like team effort.
Whoa.
Yeah. So it was something that wasn't music. When it's like made like that is so cool. When you like don't know how it's going to end or who's going to finish it. And then like Benny did his little thing and then Avicii did his thing. It was like a cool little like team.
It's a genuine, true collaboration.
Yeah, it really was. And it was an amazing experience. Like, it was so sad what happened to him, you know. And the music that he made, especially in the dance world, like, he's a legend. You know, his melodies and what he's done for the electronic music is undeniable. So it was a real honor to work with him.
Goosebumps, because the man really paved the way for so many more.
And he was so young, you know, so it was really amazing to see.
What was your first thought when you heard, when you got his version of the record back?
Well, the first original version that I got from Avicii wasn't what you hear today. It was like, and I was like, what's going on here? It was like intense. And so we kind of had to make it more pop friendly. And so that's when we started FaceTiming. We were like, Avicii, man, we love you, but we're going to have to just tone this a bit down a bit and put that bit up. But that's what a collaboration is, you know? And then it became more of like a build and a great drop. And yeah, it was awesome.
When you write, do you only write in a studio, or are you somebody who gathers inspiration as you live, take notes, and then go to the studio?
When I write, I just write with like no music or a guitar. It's never like the beat's never like ready or the music's never like ready. It always starts off with a concept and like a few chords.
Those concepts, where do they come from? Real life usually?
Yeah, it starts off as a conversation. Like when we feel like we're stuck, we're like, okay, let's go eat. Let's go upstairs. Let's like do what we need to do and start having a conversation. So like, for example, Anywhere, which is a song that's on my album, was written because I can't drive, and I was like telling my friends, like, when am I ever going to get a driving license? Like, it's so annoying, everyone drives, I want some like independence. And I was like, I just want to drive myself like anywhere in the world, like, and not feel like I have to rely on anyone. So that song was actually written as like my drive, like my road trip song, if I was to ever drive.
Are you gonna get a license?
I don't know. I'm like waiting for the day where I'm like, I need to get a license at some point.
Next time you come, I will facilitate a driving test for you.
Oh god,
we'll put you behind the wheel.
You know, it's not even the wheel, because I can like move a car. Like if I was getting chased by like a dinosaur or something, okay, I could totally like save myself
in a car. Okay, got it.
You know,
sure.
But you know, but I can't do the theory, like the written thing, like for the life of me, like I cannot.
So the rules that keep you safe.
Yeah, like I cannot. Like, do it. I've done it like 5 times. I failed 5 times. It's like, I just don't know what to do. Like, what do I do? Do I ride a Vespa? Like, what am I doing?
No, you should let them know that if a dinosaur came, you'd be okay. So they should trust you.
It's because I'm seeing dinosaurs. Like, here, this is your fault. Like, I'm seeing trolls and dinosaurs everywhere.
You got tchotchkes,
and
bro.
Like skeletons. I'm like, who am I right now?
I don't know. And then there's a cat head.
I know. It's just so cozy. It's great.
Place.
Yeah.
Alesso, you worked with him on that record.
Alesso did that. Yeah, this is what's so cool. Like, you don't realize, like, even with my songs, they may not be, like, featured on there, but everyone's, like, behind the scenes been involved. So, like, I worked with Marshmello on a song on the album, and it's like, he's got, like, a credit on there. Do you know what I mean? It's not, like, featuring Marshmello.
Yeah.
But you kind of know it's Marshmello, you know?
Wait, so, okay. Are you seeking them out? Do the records like end up in their inbox by chance? Like when
I wanted this album process to be like a revolving door. Like I just invited everybody. If that they wanted to come on board, they could come on board and like we can vibe.
Cool.
So I just was like, hey man, I'm doing my album. If you want to come through the studio, come through. Let's listen to some music. And so I just kept the door open, and then people would just come in and that was it. Some people didn't want to, and that was also fine. And that's, like, amazing, because I just started to, like, meet people for the first time, which is crazy, because the first process I did with Aura, it was not like that. It was completely different.
Was it forced on you?
No, it wasn't forced. It was just more like, you should work with this person, you should work with this person. Also, I didn't know, and I was, like, younger. And now I've kind of got a bit more experience, and I've made some great friends. So, like, it's kind of different now.
Working with Marshmello, right? Are you in the studio with him, or do you just send the record off to him?
No, that was a send it record situation.
Got it.
Yeah.
Then that record hasn't hit yet.
And it isn't out yet, no. I'm really excited about it. It's really cool.
I hear 14 records, 14 records on the album, and then 16 for
on
the deluxe.
Yeah.
It's a lot of songs to fill.
I know. And do you know what? I wish I did more, because, like, it was really hard to, like, take songs off.
How many songs do you have sitting that aren't on the album?
A lot. Like, it was really difficult to, like, knuckle it down to, like, 16.
How many features on there? Is it just you and every song now?
Avicii. Well, the ones that you guys already know of, so, like, Girls and Avicii and Liam Payne For You, that's on the album too. Then that's it, really. The Marshmello thing I just said. And my mind's going blank for some reason. And I've got a really cool little 2 Chainz moment on there, because I love myself some 2 Chainz.
Nice.
Yeah, and so, yeah, I don't know. I've got, like, the perfect amount of people on that record, you know, because I also wanted it to be solely about me and my story and my songwriting and things like that.
Which I think, at least in America, we needed, right? Because we've heard you on the radio. We know your voice. We've seen you on TV, but we know you. I mean, Black Widow. There's so many great features that you've been a part of over the years.
Yeah.
Your song, I thought, was a great introduction. Obsessed with the record.
Thank you so much. Your song's fun. That was like an introduction, exactly. It was like the new me, you know what I mean? Like a new, like, vibe.
People,
I appreciate that.
People listening to that record, what do you want them to know about you from it?
That I'm, like, in a great mood. Yeah. I'm in, like, a good place. Like, this album does really represent, like, a positive light. Like, it's a feel-good record. Like, I love pop music, you know? Popular music for me is, like, what I love. So this is a pop album, and I wanted to put out, like, one of the most popular songs that I've had, and your song was that. And it was the last song I recorded as well, because Ed Sheeran sent me that song literally like 3-4 weeks before, like, my album was, like, nearly done.
Zach Sang Show.
Hey friends, sorry for the interruption, but if you're considering going back to school, you should ask yourself the following questions. Do you need the flexibility to take classes on your schedule? 2, do you have college credits that you need transferred? 3, do you want to earn a quality degree from a world-renowned university? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Arizona State University is the perfect school for you. Arizona State University offers over 150 highly ranked degree programs, 100% online. You're going to earn the same degree that you want on campus from wherever you are, totally on your schedule. That's awesome. Plus, ASU Online accepts most transfer credits, so it's easy. If you want more information, text Zach, Z-A-C-H, to 35517. That is Zach to 35517, so you can learn for yourself why the Wall Street Journal ranks ASU 5th in the nation for producing the best qualified graduates. And you ready for this? You'll also find out why 87% of ASU grads are recruited within 90 days of graduation. That's, like, really impressive. Like, honestly, I kind of want to go back to school. Learn to grow, learn to succeed, and learn to thrive at Arizona State University. To learn more about ASU online degree programs, text Zach to 35517. That is Z-A-C-H to 35517. Okay, let's get back to this interview.
Zach Sang Show.
So how long have you been sitting on this finished album?
A few months.
Is that hard?
Yeah, but you gotta wait for the perfect time, you know?
Amen.
That's all it is. Like, literally, I've waited this long. It won't kill me to wait a few more months, you know what I'm saying? So I was like, yeah, cool, I'll wait. Yeah. Like,
whatever.
It's like, tell me something I don't know.
are you constantly listening to the album still?
Am I constantly? Yes. Yeah, definitely. I'm still like, of course, I'm so proud of it.
Is there anything you wish you could change, even though it's already closed?
Yeah.
What?
Definitely, like a few mixes, like crazy things, like just things that people will never realize, and like some intro stuff and like some like interlude things that I want to do.
Whoa.
Yeah, because like one of my favorite albums, the Lauryn Hill album, is like full of such amazing interludes, like when they're talking in a class and things like that. Like those for me are so like good special moments in records, you know.
You see it. It heightens the image in your head.
And
almost.
It just creates like a world in an album and in a physical CD, you know. It's amazing. But I think for the digital version, it's really difficult to have kind of interludes and things like that.
Are you like an old school person when it comes to music?
I still am, yeah. Like, I still love like buying CDs and stuff. I always, always do that.
I wish CDs were still a thing.
I know, me too. They are, but you just gotta find them. They just take a while to find.
Well, you gotta get the deluxe, right?
Exactly. Get the deluxe. I feel like it's everyone's gonna just do that anyway.
When you enter a studio, or when you used to enter a studio,
yeah,
because you've, I mean, dude, you worked with Drake. I didn't even know Drake wrote R.I.P.
Yeah, Drake wrote R.I.P. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
What? Like,
his demo is so dope. I actually just listened to it like the other day from like 7 years ago, and his voice even sounds different. It's crazy.
But, like, did you know that song was going to be something when you first heard it?
Yeah, yeah, because of the Necker sample. Yeah. Get a new feel, my, like, that for me was one of my favorite songs from Necker, and I was like, this is a jam, because originally Chase and Status, who are a duo producers and DJs, also produced that song with Stargate, and they always had the drum and bass version like in the clubs at all times, so I already like was aware of the effect of that little sample, you know,
what it does to a crowd.
Yeah, because I was like in it, I was like living in it, you know. So yeah.
So when you enter the room to cut that record compared to you entering a room to cut your current records, your mindset different?
Yeah, because I was like a part of the creative process with the current records.
Before it was just not handed, but like
before
you
it
should.
Was like, yeah, there was a lot of records that I was singing that I didn't write and things like that. So it kind of was a different feeling, you know?
Yeah.
So this one just feels way more like, I don't know, personal. So
was it hard to embody somebody else's lyrics like that, or did you get it down to a point where you understood empathy enough to like see the lyrics from that perspective?
No, it wasn't hard. And look, don't get me wrong, like that's what it takes to make great music. There's lots of artists in the game that sing songs that they haven't written and they still connect and love them their song. So no, it wasn't difficult because I loved the songs that I was singing.
That makes it easier.
Exactly.
There's a lot of, like, I've heard a lot of stories of people being forced to sing songs that they hate.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I've never, unluckily enough, haven't done that. So that's cool. That's good to know.
How you doing over there?
Let You Love Me is the single now. What's that one about?
Let You Love Me.
Yeah, I always want to say Let Me Love You.
I know everyone always wants to say that. That's why I did it. I wanted to give it like a different perspective. Let You Love Me is about the reason why we like to be so, I mean, it takes me a long time to open up to someone in a relationship, so sometimes it's very difficult to love me, and I keep myself very guarded, and it's hard for me to trust people. I don't tell people a lot of things. It takes me a long time to trust someone. So that's what Let You Love Me. I wish I could let you love me. I should have stayed with you last night instead of going home, going out to find trouble. It's just making decisions consciously in your mind that don't really help you at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You won't open up to love.
No, I will. It just takes me a while.
Are you open now?
I think so. I'm more like receiving of it.
Okay.
Just, you know what I'm saying? Like, I accept it.
You acknowledge when it exists.
Exactly. Whereas before, I kind of just was like out of sight, out of mind.
Got it.
You know? Yeah.
I understand that very much.
Yeah. It's really weird, isn't it? Like how your brain works sometimes.
If you're not open and willing to accept, then it tends to not come, right? Because you kind of radiate it.
I was also like had to figure things out for myself. Like I had to like go and find out who I was. Like the writing process with this album really helped me do that, which helped me like accept and receive love, you know? Not even just in relationships, like with friends as well. It wasn't just like my love life, just with anything that was like love involved.
Almost like a therapy.
Kind of, yeah. I know, yeah. That good old chestnut when you write music because it's my therapy. But it's like, it sounds cheesy, but it's true.
Yeah. It's cool. It's powerful stuff.
Yeah, it is.
What do you want people to take away from the album?
I just want people to give it a chance and understand that, like, this was an amazing journey and an incredible, like, moment for me of feeling like I've, like, rised from just like the crazy roller coaster journey I've been on. So I don't know, just listen to it with an open mind and like a new vibe.
Should we listen in order?
Yeah.
top to bottom?
Yeah. Or you can just put it on a shuffle, but I'd like it in order because I thought really hard about the track listing. People don't realize that, like, you pick track one, track two, track three, track four, track five.
Every little detail of an album is thought out and debated and worked
through.
Yeah,
it's like, what should be track one? And in my head, I'm thinking, people are just going to end up putting it on shuffle anyway. Like, well,
it's all going to be messed up.
Exactly.
But which makes it, I guess, your job a little bit harder, right? Because you want every record to have a story, right?
Yeah.
But the whole album still has to have an overall meaning.
Exactly. But you know what? I'm in such a good place. Like, I feel like I'm finally, like, I'm really proud of, like, the journey that I've been on this far. And, like, I'm not here to, like, complain or dwell about how long it took me to get here. I'm just, like, so proud of myself of doing that. And I think that that's an achievement in itself.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Wow. Okay, can I bring up this photo shoot you did?
Oh, what, the naked one?
Yeah, the Clash. The Clash shoot.
Oh, that old thing.
You look amazing.
Thank you so much.
Do you go to them and go, I want to do something? Or do they come to you and be like, yo?
Clash magazine is a music magazine that is always, like, up for, like, fun things or, like, experimenting things. And actually, it was kind of, like, last minute where we were just like, should we do something that's really, like, liberating and, like, really just, like, I'm proud of myself, of who I am. And one of my biggest idols is Madonna. And in her time, she was doing things that were so crazy to people. And I feel like that isn't dead. Why not do that? And I didn't do it for anyone, really, apart from myself. But if people like it, great.
What did you get out of it personally?
I don't know. I just felt like I'm, like, I grew up really, like, conscious of my, like, body. Like, I was the girl in my class that, like, grew before everyone else, if that makes any sense.
Totally.
So I was, like, wearing baggy clothes. I was, like, really kind of, like how I am now. Like, I was, like, I'm, like, a tomboy. So, like, this was a big deal for me to kind of, like, bear it all. I just wanted, because I, like I said, Phoenix, like, I just wanted to just, like, clean everything away and, like, get in the shower. I can't explain it, but that was the mind process behind it all.
I get it. It symbolizes a legitimate rebirth.
Basically, yeah, yeah.
Does it bother you when people are like, Rita, put your clothes back on?
No.
Stop walking around naked all the time?
No, because it's true. I walk around naked all the time.
I want that confidence.
I mean, it's like, what do you want me to do? I'm not like cocky or anything, but like there's some things that I'm like not sensitive about, and my body isn't one of them. You know, there's other things I'm sensitive about.
What else?
If you're not
sensitive about your body,
yeah.
What are you sensitive about?
Just like anything, like my family, like I'm really protective of my family, like really protective of my dogs, like just things that like are real life things to me. Not like, oh, Rita made a decision to be naked, let's all talk about it. It's like, whatever.
But that skin develops over time.
Yeah, it really does.
Like being in the public eye in the UK is,
it's completely different.
Yeah.
Because they're like ruthless.
Dude, they'll
like,
hack your phone.
They'll like jump on your car. I mean, I guess they kind of do that here too, but like they will sleep outside your house and they would like come up in your face to the point where it's like intrusive.
And it's stars of all sizes too. Like they're obsessed. I mean, I don't know.
It's crazy.
Depends.
Like I'm like taking out my rubbish and I'm like, there's cameras everywhere. I'm like, can I take my rubbish out in peace?
No, that's the answer. Not at all.
But you know, I don't complain about those things. There's, you know, you got to pick and choose. You pick this life, so you've just got to like control it in the way you want to control it, you know?
Do you feel like you picked it or did it pick you?
No, I feel like it definitely like, I wanted to work in music. I didn't know anything about fame, obviously. I didn't know anything about like paparazzi. I just wanted to like work in music and in entertainment, and if this is what comes with it, then you've just got to like pick your battles, you know what I mean? Like go to places that you won't be seen or like things like that, you know? Yeah.
Did you ever think about maybe not being in front of the camera but being in the studio and writing for others?
No. I don't know if I could do that. I'd love to write for others anyway, regardless. You know, I think I would definitely like to send people my songs that, like, for example, didn't make the album that someone else can sing, for sure. Yeah.
It's hard, though, giving away a song like that, maybe.
I know, but Ed Sheeran always said to me, like, what's he going to do just sitting there?
That's it. Collect and, dust.
Like, well, what are you going to do with it, you know? And he's been writing songs now for other artists a lot. And yeah, I think he's a great example.
He's that documentary. I don't know. Have you seen his documentary?
It was fantastic. Like, I was so inspired. Like, I wanted to go write a song straight away. And it was so cool.
And Benny Blanco, I love him to death.
Yeah, have you had a chance to interview him yet?
Blessed with his presence a couple of times, and he's just...
He'd love this couch. He'd be here with no shoes on.
Yeah, flip-flops.
He'd be here, like, literally just like, what up? Like, literally, like, legs open, hoodie on.
But did you see him at the AMAs when he dressed up? He killed the suit.
I know, he was so swaggy.
And that medallion chain thing?
I know, we love Benny and his wife, Little Dicky. Them two together just crack me all the way up. Like, I love them so much.
I didn't necessarily get it before, but I get it now. I understand it.
They're like wife and wife, both of them.
Yeah. I love it. Okay, we have a new album, November 23rd.
Yes.
It is a thing. Let You Love Me is the single. It's a great record.
Thank you so much.
And I interpreted the same way that you just expressed it, right? When I heard it first, I was like, this is about somebody refusing love, like keeping themselves purposely away from love.
Thank you. I'm so happy with the reaction. Like, everyone's been so supportive, and it's been like, it's crazy online. And thanks to everyone who's like streamed it or like bought it or is like listening to it.
And your song deserves your ear too.
Thank you.
I was playing that record on the radio. I wanted to give it more time.
Thank you.
I really, and I listen, it's in my daily playlist. So
yes,
I do,
boom.
It. I'm active.
What's your role in the Pokemon movie?
On another note.
Yeah. Well, on that aside.
You do have a weird, you tried to, okay, let's get into acting a little bit more. Yeah. We'll get to Pokemon in a second. Yeah. You go wanting to be in the 50 Shades like soundtrack,
yeah.
And they look at you and the director's like, you should play his sister.
Yeah, literally.
And you did.
I auditioned, yeah. And then I ended up playing, I mean, it was like a literally a non-existent role when she had the idea, the director, Sam Taylor. And I was like, well, what am I going to do? She was like, we'll figure it out. So then it was like, literally have a blink in the first one and you're like, miss me, so it doesn't really count. And then like the second one is like a little bit more, and then the third one was, you know what, we should really like embrace this character. So I'm like, I was really happy with the growth of it, because I wasn't bothered. Like, it was the first time I ever was in a big budget like movie of some sort, so I was just happy to be there.
And now Pokemon.
Yeah, now I did Detective Pikachu, the Pokemon movie. It's a real life version of Pokemon. It's a kids' film. It's fantastic. It's like super good vibes. It's fun. It comes out next year. And yeah, I can't tell you too much about it yet.
What the F is life?
I can't tell you like what I'm in it as yet.
Like, now the longer I look at you, I feel like you could be a Pokemon character, like one of the real life humans.
I wish.
That's with Ash Ketchum.
I'm like a kid at heart. Like, I love cartoons. Like, I love Pokemon. I love dinosaurs.
Do you use a Pokeball in the new Pokemon movie?
No, but I collect the cards, which, by the way, are like worth so much money now. Did you know that?
Yes.
It's crazy. I didn't know. My friend told me, and I was like, well, I'm going to sell these bad boys. Hey.
I'm sitting on a binder.
I'm like on Amazon, and they're like thousands of pounds. And I'm like, what is going on here? This is wicked.
It's a whole market.
It's crazy.
Did you actually get to act with Pikachu in the movie?
Yeah, a few, actually. I can't stop asking me questions. I can't say anything.
It's so exciting.
And it's really cool, right?
I know. Yeah.
I like doing things that people don't expect me to do, you know? Like, that was a real unexpected one, so I'm excited.
Wow. Any other gems you got over there?
No, I don't think so. I will say, you come across very intimidating on TV, but you're very friendly in person.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that true?
I see, I'm like, you look like this. It's like the face, the accent, the clothes. I'm like, she's so intimidating. And then in person, I'm like, oh, she's just the friendliest, happiest person ever.
I'm like so chilled, and I'm just so happy to be here. Like, wherever I am, I'm just like happy to be here.
What about her intimidates you?
I just said, it's the accents, the face, the clothes, just like the whole package together. I'm like, that's intimidating.
Oh.
And you walk in here like, hi, I'm late.
Maybe
and
that's...
Like, the hair's... You got, like, a Coke in your hand. The hair's everywhere. You're like, oh, me on the couch alone? I'm like...
This is awesome. Well, I hope I've changed your perspective now.
Intimidating's not a bad thing.
Okay, good. Because sometimes... Maybe that's why I'm like... No, I'm not even going to go there.
I want to know where you were about to go.
No, I'm not going there. Not going there. Not going there.
Iggy Azalea, Black Widow was a big song for you,
Thank
too.
Thank you. I loved that. That was a big eye-opener for me. That was, like, my first, like, global reception.
What did it open your eyes to?
Just, like, new territories again. Like, it wasn't released by my team, per se, but it felt like it was a great moment for my career at that time.
I mean, huge. That song had to have gone number one here in the States, I think.
I think it was like number 3 or 2 or something like that.
Pretty high.
Yeah, I don't know.
I played that thing every hour. That's what I do remember. I did.
Yeah, that's great. Huge and you were record. Like, do I have to listen to this again? No,
I loved it. I knew every word. And then I think, did you do an AMA performance of that one year?
Yeah, or? No, it was VMA.
Okay, got it.
The VMAs, yeah. One of the A's.
Yeah.
It's like all these A's. One of the A's.
Oh my God, one of the hosts on that pre-show that I did the other day called the AMAs the VMAs, like twice.
Oh, no. And twice? You're like, dude, can you like know where you are?
Yeah, where are you, bro? What's going on?
Yeah.
It's poor branding. Have you talked to Iggy recently or
no,
since that song?
I haven't spoken to her in a while. No. I haven't. I hope she's well.
I hope so, too.
She looks fantastic online.
But like... What does a digital presence really tell you about somebody sometimes?
I don't know. At this point in life, it's like, what do we know? What is real? Like, what's going on?
What's not through a filter?
I don't know. But is it a filter, though? Is it not? Whoa. That's the question. You know what I'm saying? It's just like never ending.
It's true. Oh, wow. That's really crazy to think about.
I want to Instagram you guys now.
Cool.
Oh, Charlie XX just texted me. We love Charlie.
Oh, yes, we do.
Don't we? Mm-hmm. She's so fun.
How did you assemble the girls for Girls? Did you pick them?
How did I assemble that? Yes, I did. I picked everyone myself.
Got it.
Oh, what'd you think of the backlash over that song? Were you expecting that?
No, I wasn't, actually. But I kind of understood why. Yeah. You know, after taking a step out of it and looking at it from that angle... It sucked, obviously, because that was not my intention. My intention was to honestly, like, tell my story, which is what Phoenix is about, and that was my truth, you know? So there's only so much that I could feel bad about. If it's your truth, it's just your truth, you know? Mm-hmm. So, but I completely understand, like, the world is a really sensitive place at the moment, you know? And all I wanted to do was show the community that supported me so much how much I love them and how proud I am of sharing my story like that, because I have some friends or probably people that I've never met who can't share their story or can't be honest to their family with who they are, who they love, because of religion or because of race or whatever the hell it is. So that was a message to everybody, and hopefully that gave people confidence to really live their truth. Mm-hmm. That was really the message behind it all.
And I think once it was stated, I think a lot of people understood that.
Oh, yeah.
And you
no.
were really very much so.
Thank you.
It genuinely hit everybody in a big way.
Like, I don't have like an ego. Like, I completely understand. Like, I've never ever intentionally wanted to harm anybody ever in my life. Like, I'm a really chilled person. I love to laugh and like make friends with random people on the street and like chat to everyone. I'm like the person in the bar that like talks to the bar person. Yeah. You know, and then everyone's like, Rita, let's go home now. And I'm like, 1 second, this story is so interesting. So like, that's me, you know, so I get it. And, you know, it was always meant to be a positive thing.
Pokemon, Phoenix.
Yeah.
So much. Charlie XCX texting your phone. What a great life you got.
Aw, well, look, I've got a long way to go. I think it's just the start, but I'm like, I'm not complaining, do you know what I mean?
Is it crazy that it's just the start?
I think so, yeah. I think definitely. Because I just can't wait to put this album out and tour it next year. And like meet people that I haven't met yet, because it's been a long time since Aura. So I'm happy to like get on the road and stuff. I can't wait.
And to be in a movie alongside Pikachu. I think music's cool, but like Pikachu is, come on.
Yeah, the director just emailed me like, you want to see your scenes? And I'm like, yes.
Of course.
Yeah. Oh, wait, let me Instagram you guys. Okay. Sorry, I forgot.
How dare you?
I I love talking. I forget things.
I get it. I was born to be on Instagram and only on Instagram.
Okay, I'm going to do like a...
Okay.
Okay.
But do you want me to do a live version of it or like a boomerang?
I don't... this is your creative vision.
Oh, God, the pressure. The pressure of social media.
And then the filter. That's a whole other conversation.
Oh, and then the filter. But is it, though?
No filter here. Filter free.
Okay, say hi.
Hi.
Oh, wait. I'm not recording. Okay. Go. Hi.
Hi. Hi.
Hey. Oh my God, I just looked at myself. I look crazy. How are you guys letting me talk to you guys like this about my life and seriousness, and I'm wearing these glasses? Oh my God, hi.
Oh, it's nice to see your eyes.
Oh, thanks, sorry.
I was able to see them a little bit through the purple.
It's because I went to a charity event last night, and I was like, it was called the City of Hope, which
looked
is a beautiful charity.
Sick.
It was so nice, and we celebrated one of the biggest legends in the music industry, Big John, who's an OG.
And Jay-Z.
And Jay-Z was there, and Beyonce was there, and it was a big family reunion, so I was just kind of like, overwhelmed.
What do you do in those situations? Like, how do you cope with that overwhelming vibe?
Wait, I'm atting you guys.
Okay.
Wait, hold on.
Need help
What's
spell?
Your Instagram?
Oh, Zach Sang, Z-A-C-H.
Z-A-C-H, yeah.
S-A-N-G.
S-A-N. Oh, there you are.
Shut up.
Verified. Ooh. Look at you with the blue tick.
Yeah, that's on my resume. Get it. Only took me years.
It only took me my whole life. I've sacrificed so much.
The pinnacle of my career was when I got that verified check mark.
Should I put these back on? Am I intimidating by any chance?
How do you feel?
I feel great now that the glasses are off.
Really?
Yeah. It takes you down a level.
Oh, damn it.
Makes you more relatable.
Phoenix deserves your ear November 23rd, and these records really do deserve your attention. Let You Love Me, love it. Lonely Together, beautiful record.
Thank you.
Anywhere, Your Song, those are the four we have so far.
Thank you.
But we have
girls.
Another girls.
Yeah.
So that is four in total that are out right now, right?
Yes, five, I think.
Five, yeah.
Okay,
so we have another 11 coming.
Yeah. So excited.
I was able to do math.
You dropped
on that.
Your pen because you're so excited.
That's it. Let's throw all the pens in the cup. Done.
Have you ever thought about like having an accent, like an English co-host?
You know what? Yes.
Do you want to be it?
Yeah, you in?
Is that what you're asking?
I'm like, there's a spare seat next to you. And I'm like, I would be a complete match for this little combo going on
I
here.
I think you would, because I think you'd balance Dan and I out
and
rather well.
And I feel
well.
Like if you have like another accent, it could totally just like mix it up.
Catches people's attention.
And it's like, who's the annoying British girl that doesn't show up on your TV, on your radio show?
But for real? Like, no. Wherever you go, I'll give
I
you a studio.
I think it would be fun maybe for a one-off. I'd love it. You guys are super easy to talk to.
That would be really cool. Dude, come and sit on our show and co-host with us. That'd
I'd
be
love
cool.
That. I'm like, just you guys, I could just sit here and talk all day. Like, I loved the Ariana interview. Like, I watched it and it was so lovely and relaxed. And I was like, that's what an interview should be like. You know, that's what all interviews should be like.
Thanks for watching that.
No, it was fantastic.
Please come and co-host with us for
the
show.
I would love to. No, thanks for having me as well. I've had the best time. This is sick.
Anytime, all time. Rita Ora, everybody.
All right. Woo!
This podcast is part of the Zach Sang Show Podcast Network.